Once again, the Questions Hip Hop Podcast is coming back at you. My name is Sean Kantrowitz, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. We got a lot of great feedback for last week's De La Soul Stakes is High Making Illmatic episode. Shout out to all the new Patreon subscribers. To welcome you all into the fold, not only do we have the second half of the Stakes is High episode there, but Midas and I also did an exclusive Patreon episode of The Answers. It's over an hour long. We're going to do a lot more things like this. This is a freewheeling, off the top, very interesting, some spicy takes in their conversation, but we're going to have more things like this coming to the Patreon soon. So if you want to support the show, get all the Patreon goodness, you should join the Patreon. You can click the link in the episode notes or go to patreon.com/thequestionshiphop. And if you want to do even more De La deep dive and goodness, this is where, you know, I'm going to do a little cross promo here. Some of you may know that I am producing Will.i.am Presents the FYI Show on Sirius XM. It's a radio show on Sirius, hosted by Will.i.am and co-hosted by an AI co-host. And last week's episode features an interview with Will.i.am and De La Soul. Will talks about the ways that De La and a lot of other groups of their ilk and their contemporaries influenced him. It was a really cool conversation to facilitate. I was just geeked to watch and hear Will, you know, get to basically just geek out to his heroes. And I was just, you know, happy to be a fly on the wall for that. So you can go listen to that episode on the Sirius XM app is one place you can check it out. Or you can hear and see bonus content from that De La Soul interview. Stuff that didn't even make the episode in the FYI app. It's free. It is a cool new platform that I have been working with. And, you know, part of what I'm doing with the show ties in to the FYI app. I'm going to put a link to the project in FYI, where all that stuff lives, in the show notes as well. So, this week's episode of the Questions Hip Hop Podcast is a classic from the archives. It was originally broadcast on Instagram Live. Oh, the Instagram Live days. On July 20th, 2020. It was our 51st episode, and the guest is Diallo Riddle. Diallo is a writer, he's a producer, actor, DJ, and podcast host. He made his first big waves in the entertainment industry as a writer on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and he and his writing partner, Bashir Salahuddin, are the driving forces behind some of my favorite TV shows of the past few years. Sherman Showcase is a hilarious music variety show that is such a fun watch if you're a music nerd. Also features some amazing contributions from friend of the questions, Fonte Coleman and Zoe. They've done a bunch of music cues for that. And then Southside is another show that Diallo co-created and writes and produces and stars in. It's one of my favorite comedies and also definitely worth a watch if you've never checked it out. I've met a lot of people who've been like, oh yeah, I've heard about that. I haven't checked it. You gotta watch Southside. It did, unfortunately, recently get canceled, but I'm of the firm belief that shows can have second lives in the era that we're living in. I maintain hope that Southside might make its return. But a lot of you probably already have checked out Southside. In the last year, Diallo also launched a podcast called One Song with co-host Luxury. It's definitely the type of music deep dive that you're going to enjoy if you like a show like this show, The Questions. Each episode, the two of them unpack and they break down one song from the pop music canon. I ran into Diallo randomly when I was at PopCon at USC a couple weeks ago. He was on a panel talking about music podcasts with some pretty heavy hitters, including Morgan Rhodes and Oliver Wang from the excellent and long dormant Heat Rocks podcast. You guys remember Heat Rocks? Check out Heat Rocks if you slept on that. I was definitely happy to be in the building. I went up to Diallo and I introduced myself to him because we had actually never met in person, just over Instagram Live. And obviously we have interacted on social media because he's been a big supporter of the questions throughout all of it, all of the time in the last 4 or 5 years, honestly. So I thought this feels like a good time to bring his episode out of the archives and put it onto the main feed. He's a really funny guy. He's smart. He's super hardworking. And he's a music nerd. That's what I really appreciate about him the most. There's so many things that I admire about Diallo, but he is a music nerd, and I love... It's like a spidey sense that you feel when you can detect another music nerd in your radius. So let's do this. This is a classic episode of The Questions Hip Hop with special guest Diallo Riddle.
Who did it first? Who did it best? Who did it worst? That's the question. Who rapping there? That remix and what happened when? That's the question.
Let me ask you a question.
And if you ain't know what needs, then my guy's knowing what you need. Some answers to the question.
Our guest tonight, Diallo Riddle.
What's up?
How are you?
Woo! I've been studying. You know, I've been reading up on hip-hop.
Yeah.
And it's catching on. I think hip-hop is catching on. So, you know, I think I've done enough studying, and I'm ready to beat Quest's, what did he get, 14 out of 15 last week?
He got a contentious 13 out of 15. there's been a lot of talk about this. I know he wants to come back and settle the score figuratively and literally.
But okay, all right.
Before we dive into the game, I know you're thirsty for blood. How is your quarantine been going? What have you been up to in the last?
You might find out how it's been going, because I got we have a dog and three children and my wife, so you know they might interrupt at any moment. It could get crazy up in here. We've been good. We have not really left the house for much of anything not important since March. So we're here, we're doing it. And and I can see the Quest Love is saying he's gonna play the role of Skills. That's fine.
You know,
to everybody else, if you know an answer, don't be a hater like Mr. Amir Thompson. Please put your answers in the comments. I'm not looking at them, but you know, they would be appreciated.
Yeah, we do. There is definitely two schools of thought when it comes to our chat. And some people reject the chat completely, and some people rely on it heavily. We don't judge. Whatever you want to do, you know, that's fine. But you have the option.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to do this.
Awesome. Wow. Questlove is really, he really is going to be the Skills. Questlove, we did a count, but we lost count of how many times Skills called you a fuckboy in the chat last time. He was going a little nuts with it. We are trying to tally it, but I think, do you guys need to like mediate something? Let us know if you need us to like patch it up, because it seemed personal.
Real personal by the end.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with it myself. But all right, here we go. We're going to get into our first round, and our first round is called The Choice Is Yours. This is general multiple choice. And again, you can rely on that chat if you need to.
Great.
All right, so we're hopping into our first round, and here's our first question. Though DeBrat's career took off after teaming with Atlanta's very own Jermaine Dupri, she originally hails from this city. Is it Boston, Chicago, New York, or Miami?
Well, I seem to remember DeBrat being from Chicago. I don't remember there being any Boston, New York, or Miami mixed up in there. So I think I know the answer to this. In fact, we do a show called Southside, which is set in Chicago. And I remember that people were pitching us, it's Chicago. We wanted to have her on Southside, which is our Chicago show. So I'm going to answer Chicago.
Chicago is correct. And you, if I'm not mistaken, you're originally from Atlanta, right?
I'm the only person involved in Southside not from Chicago, specifically not even from the South Side of Chicago. Everybody else on South Side is, you know, grew up on Halsted, on 83rd, on Emerald, like, you know, Inglewood, Hyde Park, doesn't matter. Everybody's from the South Side. I am the one sort of carpetbagger involved in the show.
So are they constantly making like in jokes and references that like you don't get, or like they, or are they more inclusive towards you when it comes to those things?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but we originally had a show that was set in my hometown of Atlanta. And because of that, you know, we had a whole room of Atlanta people and Bashir, who's from Chicago. And I play the same role in this room, the Southside room, that he played the Atlanta room, which is sometimes as the outsider, I can be like, hey, what did you just say? Oh, that's really interesting. Let's dive into that, because I've never heard that before. You know, oh. You always need like one outsider in the room to sort of say, hey, this is kind of cool. We should go further.
So it's more of a strength, if anything. I was picturing it, a group of people laughing, and then you start to laugh, and they turn at you, and you're like, what do you know about this? This is a South Side joke. Like, you wouldn't know no, that.
Listen, I laugh because, you know, we always say we grew up watching Seinfeld, and I didn't know what a marble rye was, but it was funny because I knew that a marble rye might be like a new pair of Jordans, you know, in that universe. So, you know, we always felt like if we made the jokes very specific to the neighborhood, everybody's going to laugh at it. Because, you know, comedy is just universal like that. You don't have to know exactly what they're referencing to get, oh, I get it. He's jealous or, you know, whatever that is.
I can tell you as a half Jew, we would get marble rye for Christmas every year. We would unwrap it. And it was like getting Jordans. I never got Jordans, but I did get marble rye.
I never got either. I was robbed as a kid. I never got either.
Wow. All right. We need to move on from this. Otherwise, we both might start crying. All right. Second question. Little Brother's second album, The Minstrel Show, centers around a program that is broadcasted on this fictional television station. Is it ABD, BBE, LBTV, or UBN?
My only question is, what if I got this wrong? I don't feel like I could ever talk to Fonte ever again if I got this answer wrong. Okay. So, Questlove, why don't you go on and put your like lame little wrong answer in the comments?
Shots fired.
Damn, son.
Wait till they get a load of this. You know, yeah. I mean, we can go through these fast. This is UBN all the way. This is actually. I still remember the first time I was DJing at an LA bar, and I put on Lovin' It, and to this day, like to see that crowd react when Lovin' It came on, like. We got next. I mean, this got so many bangers, but UBN, D, final answer.
UBN is correct. I didn't say the correct. Yeah, no, I'm not saying the actual answer. Yeah. to that trap.
So far, I'm chilling. This is great. This is great.
I think I really learned about your show, Sherman Showcase, might have been from our mutual friend, Fonte Coleman, because he has contributed all the music to the show, right?
He's contributed a lot of music. And, you know, okay. we have a lot of different kinds of music on the show. We got Fonte bringing great songs. We have The Knox, who I was introduced to via DJ Equal. Shout out to Equal. You know, like Ben Rock is like a really, he's like us. He loves all different types of music. And, you know, I was like, hey, we need to do a disco song and a Stevie Nicks song. And, you know, like this song about Marina Del Rey, which is LA's forgotten neighborhood, and they came on strong and they gave us nothing but bangers. So between them, Fonte, my nephew in Atlanta, Gemini, shout out to Gemini. You know, we have a lot of different creators, Safari Riot. We have a lot of different composers, and we're looking for new composers in season two. You know, like Anderson .Paak is somebody I want to work with. I'd love to get Questlove to do something, but he never comes through. There's some other people who I'd love to. But we did ask for a remix, Quest, and it never happened.
Wow. Grievances. Again, I don't, there's a lot of, seems like everybody who's on this show has a question with, or has a problem with Questlove. I don't know what's going on here.
Actually, I'm on the skills payroll, so that's what's happening. Shout out to Rosenberg. I'm on the skills payroll.
Yeah. Again, I feel like we could keep going, but we need to move on or this is going to get weird.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Quest, it's all love.
It's all love, Quest. Quest Love. All right. Third question. Which of these Kanye West albums has John Legend not appeared on? Is it College Dropout, Graduation, 808s and Heartbreak, or My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Wow. Okay.
We turn the heat up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the first. That's not an easy one. And by the way, there's a guy on staff who's like a Kanye musicologist, and he would know this like in a heartbeat. I do not.
How's he doing right now, that guy? He's a Kanye.
He's Mr. Popular in our and on our text threads. No, we give him a lot of, you know, he is not abandoned Ye just yet. He didn't abandon him when a lot of us might have left Ye behind, including John Legend. Let's get back to this.
Wait, I thought you were stalling. I was letting you go.
No.
Let's work it out. Let's work.
I think I know because there's one of these albums that I know really well, and I can't think of John popping up on it.
Okay,
I might be wrong. God, if I get it wrong this early in the game, then I'll never live it down. But I am thinking, and people feel free to weigh in. I don't remember there being John Legend on Graduation. I know that album pretty damn well. The only John on Graduation, I think, is John O'Brien or John Bryan. John Bryan. So
this isn't a clue, but John Bryan is on Late Registration. This isn't, you know, that has nothing to do with the answer. But
but John Bryan plays the keys on Flashing Lights.
Oh, you're right. Ooh, I got stumped. Shit.
Yeah, he plays the keys on Flashing Lights. And I want to say he plays the keys on one other Graduation song. I'm leaning towards Graduation, man. B.
Okay, we're going to do a reveal here. I have the answers pulled up. So first of all, that's not it. Hold on. My bad. So first we have... This is John Legend singing through auto-tune on College Dropout.
Right.
He actually did backing vocals on Graduation.
Backing vocals?
And he was on Blame Game, prominently featured. The answer, the only album that he has not appeared on at all, was 808s and Heartbreaks. That was a tough one, Diallo.
Backing vocals. You got me on backing vocals. Go on and talk. Quest, go on and talk. Go on and talk.
Fine. John Legend is also playing.
14. Yeah. You go text me 14. Yeah. All right.
How did you first meet John Legend? Like, because I know that he produces.
Believe it or not, it's a random run-in with. I went to Harvard with this guy who used to work with John, and you know when John was first blowing up on the scene, and we went to that guy's baby shower, and my wife Brittany. Chrissy's obviously been famous forever, but she wasn't the Chrissy Teigen we know today. They became really good friends. And so I was just seeing, we would go hang out with them like once a month at their old house up in like Hollywood area. And, you know, I'd just be sitting there while the wives were over here laughing and talking, like I'd just be chilling with John on the sofa talking music. And I was like, look, you know, one of these days I'm going to do a show that I want to work with you on. And he was like, I'm all for it. And then when we finally landed on the idea of Sherman Showcase, which was music and comedy, there was no way we were going to do it without John. So I was like, John, I finally had the idea. And I had like this whole presentation worked out. And we were like 2 minutes in. He was like, oh, yeah, let's do this. And I was like, all right, fine. Just take the win. So we only took it one place. We took it to IFC because they did Documentary Now. And I was like, I wanted to have a Documentary Now appeal. I wanted to be like quirky, serious comedy for like music nerds. That's what we go for on Sherman Showcase. When I was at Fal and me and Questlove were on clearly better terms, and we would always just sit around and just talk about music, and I'd be like, yo, what's up with Rod Temperton on that track? Like, we would just get really deep in it. And so if you watch Sherman's the way that I write it, or the way or Questlove watches it, or John watches it, it really goes in deep. I just want to tell one quick story.
Sure.
The reason why Vic Mensa, who plays the charade character on the show, who's our comic book universe's version of Prince, the reason why he starts off in a white lady's band is based on the story of Prince playing the keyboards on Stand Back for Stevie Nicks. So, like, literally, like, there are nuggets in there for everybody who's ever read their favorite artist's Wikipedia page or really delved into, like, buying the Japanese pressing because it's got those three rare remixes. Like, that's the level of nerddom that we try to bring. And we try to keep it funny for people who don't know all this stuff, too.
It works on both levels, for sure. And I was definitely the guy spending needless amounts of money on import singles back in the day.
Like, for the gatefold covers.
I was explaining this to somebody. You didn't even know if the song was going to be good.
No.
You know, Questlove points this out. I recommend about a third of all the walk-ons on Fallon.
Then you're a brilliant, brilliant man. Can I tell you about a CD I bought, Sight Unseen? I'll never forget. I'm gonna age myself. But I went to buy some Wu-Tang CDs in the record store at Harvard Square.
Yeah.
And I saw that there was a CD by some guys, and they were wearing Atlanta Braves hats. And I was like, that's weird. And I looked on the back, and they had a song called Welcome to Atlanta. I think it was like track 8. And I was like, oh, I'm buying this. I don't even know who they are. I'm buying this album. And it was Outkast's Southern Playlistic. So there you go.
That was a good instinct.
And the second I put this on, I called all my friends. I was like, yo, there's a group from Atlanta. They sound like they're from Oakland. But I think that this group sounds amazing.
Yeah, you're not the first person to point out they had a very heavy Souls of Mischief influence.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that was that first album.
So great. All right, final question in this round, y'all. We're doing good so far. Speaking of Fallon, this rapper stormed the stage at the end of Odd Future's debut late night performance on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Was it Black Thought, Pusha T, Mos Def, or Jay Electronica? That is not a photo of them, so you don't have to squint at the photo, but there was a rapper who stormed the stage at the end of the performance, the legendary debut of Tyler.
I was in the crowd that night. Whew. Wow. Let me talk this through. Okay.
Talk it through. You were there.
I don't think it would be Black Thought. That doesn't sound like him.
Or cool, calm, collected.
Yeah. I don't think it was Drake.
Thank you, Quest.
No, Quest was Pusha T, Mos Def, Jay Electronica.
Who would be the type to rush the stage at the end of somebody
like in a positive way, though, right?
In a positive way, yes.
Yeah. So you know why I think it's Mos Def? Because Mos Def used to sit in with us sometimes. You know, he used to sit in with the Roots. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I feel like that might have just happened to have been one of the days when he was sitting in, you know, with the Roots.
Okay. Final answer?
Damn, the people in the comments think it's Pusha T, and I do not remember that.
Sometimes the comments come first.
Yeah, sometimes people in the comments could be wrong. I hate Questlove. You know what? Next time, let's just misadvertise the time this thing starts. I don't remember Pusha T being there. You know what? I'm gonna put this on the audience. I think it was Mos Def, but
I need an answer.
I think it was B. I'm gonna go with the crowd. I'm gonna say B for Pusha T.
Final answer, Pusha T.
Yes.
Diallo, let this be a lesson to trust your instinct. The answer was Mos Def.
It was Mos Def. I knew it. Come on, y'all. Don't say it was Pusha T in the comments. I believe y'all, and I talked my way out of the right answer. So there you go.
Listen, he is a man of
Jack. Why did you tell me that, Jack? You said it was Pusha T, Jack. Really, Jack? Come on, Jack.
Fuzzy memory.
Damn.
What was your?
It was Mos Def. Exactly. I didn't even remember that suit. Mos Def was. I remember the suit. Well,
a valuable lesson.
And by the way, Questlove did say Mos Def, and so you know now he's playing both sides. He's Palpatine. He's in my head. Honestly, he's in my head now. Okay, leave the comments on, but I'm ignoring the comments. Here we go.
All right. You were involved in writing the Slow Jam the News segment.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
And you wrote the one with Barack Obama, right?
That is true. Shout out to Barack. He is one of the few people that we've ever written for who you just didn't even need to coach him on one line. Like, he said it. He did it perfectly. I'll never forget Jimmy turned to him. He was like, do you want to do it again? He was like, nope, do you? And, like, that was it. So...
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Shout out to Barack. We'd love to have
him. Shout out to Barack.
If anybody wants to connect, you know, I think he knows a thing or two about hip hop. We're going to move on to our second round.
Okay. All right. I'm ready for this.
Great. This is our album artwork round. So I'm going to show you a small piece of the album cover. You have to identify what the album is.
That's right.
Here we go. First one. What album?
Oh, come on.
It's the back of two heads. People are facing an orange wall, and one of the persons is wearing a hat that is cocked to the side.
Do this one, B, crisscross, totally crossed out.
He says crisscross.
And he's from Atlanta, man.
I remember that.
Did you rock the crisscross themed apparel at any point?
Oh, we had a crisscross day in my school. I remember all the kids showed up. We were supposed to put it. I couldn't do it because my parents just didn't buy me the clothes that allowed backwards clothing, but you know.
It was different technology at the time. Yes,
I mean it had to be really, really baggy for that kind of stuff to work. If my, you know, I was raised differently. My parents told me never put any interest into clothes. Like they're like just focus on your books. My mom told me to pull my pants up over my stomach because that way it would have a slimming effect because my legs would look longer. Like I was an interesting kid. I dressed like Alex B. Keaton when I went to school. There you have it.
Factoid right there. All right, we're moving on to the second. In this round, what album cover is this?
It's the lower half of a man's face, black man. We can only see his lips and below, and he's wearing a pinkish, sort of reddish Hawaiian shirt.
I'm gonna rock this session. Okay, I'll tell you, it's not Cool Keith, it's not Tyler, it's not DJ Khaled.
Then he's
that's
the
homie. That's Donald. That's Childish because the internet.
Absolutely.
Fun fact. Met Donald in 2007 when he was a writer. Knew immediately. I was like, this kid's got it. He's going to be a great writer someday if he stays focused.
Which he sort of did. I mean, like, he does.
Oh, no. He's a great writer. No, that's not. I mean, like, listen, like, you know, then he was like, I'm coming. You know what one of my favorite early Childish lines was like, oh, you got a mixtape? That's fantastic. Like, I feel like so many people probably told him that. But, you know, he was supposed to be in our Atlanta pilot because he's from Atlanta like me. And he was going to play our neighbor, Curtis. And we ended up, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm down to do it. And then he came back and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go on tour. And so we're like, okay, so we'll recast it. And I don't know if he actually did go on tour. He started writing Atlanta, which is great. But we ended up recasting that role with Jaden Smith. Now, here's where it gets crazy. We put Jaden Smith in the role that we wrote for Donald Glover. And we had to find a rapper to be his friend. The rapper that we found was August Alsina. Ooh. The two of them had never actually met. So they hung out on set that whole day.
Wait a minute.
They became best friends.
Are you saying that you are responsible for Entanglegate?
I am not saying I'm responsible for a damn thing. I'm just saying that they didn't know each other until they hung out on set on our Atlanta pilot. So, you know, you'll have to tell me how that story ends. There you go.
You know.
All right. Well, we're going to move on. I mean, there's a lot of speculation there, but listen, I'm not going to drag you through the mud on it. What album cover is this? Is it Master Ace, A Long Hot Summer, People Under the Stairs, The Next Step, MLP, Foundation, or Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity?
It's the torso of a man sitting on what appears to be a stoop, dressed in a white robe, and writing in a book.
It's not Souls of Mischief. I don't think it's Master Ace. I feel like Long Hot Summer, I mean, there's stairs there. There are some stairs there. I feel like that's the stoop. You know, everybody's trying to tell me it's Master Ace. I don't know if I trust these comics, but it seems uniform. Is it Master Ace? Okay. It's not MLP, y'all? That's not Foundation? And I'm looking
at... What are we looking at? Like, what? Just analyze what you're seeing here beyond the stairs. I'm just like...
I see a man in a white robe with a pad and a pen. And yeah, I'm gonna go Master Ace. I'm gonna say Lightning can't be wrong twice. I'm gonna say Master Ace, A Long Hot Summer. Humility, I don't know.
The popular phrase, Lightning can't be wrong twice, which we all know and love. Let's see. And I swear to God, crowd, if you lead Diallo astray again, I will personally come after you guys. Do not hurt Diallo. But guess what? They were right. It is Master Ace.
Somebody in the comments said MOP not reading books.
I don't know if that's true, but I don't think
that's true, y'all.
I don't think that's a really mean comment,
and I like to laugh at mean comments. So that's the writer in me.
I don't think that MOP are wearing white robes outside.
You know what? I don't know this album. What album? What Master Ace? What was the single off of this one?
This was this started to have a lot of like Ninth Wonder production on there as well. This was
like later Master Ace. This is like 99, 2000 something.
Early 2000s.
I didn't know this album. Okay, I'm glad I listened.
So you're more into the older Master Ace.
You know what? I'll be honest. Like Master Ace was never my dude, but Sitting on Chrome like had an effect on me. So I definitely copped that album that apparently like no Master Ace fan likes, but you know, it had Sitting on Chrome and Born to Roll. It was like a West Coast album by an East Coast artist, but you know, it actually kind of brought him back into, because I remember he also did like Crooklyn Dodgers, which I thought was dope. So yeah, you know, that was more my Master Ace period. I'm glad that y'all didn't let me down this time. Yeah, me and the comments and the folks is back on good terms.
You guys are good again. Shout out to DJ Spider with Readout Posse, which is his responsibility. ROP. Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on to our third round, y'all. And that is called Digging in the Praise.
Right. Can I show the album art for our album?
Amazing. Plug it. So that is the soundtrack to the first two seasons?
This is the first season.
Okay.
So shout out to Bashir, a.k.a. Sherman. That's the first season. But then, of course, we have the Sherman Showcase Black History Month special in June, which has Questlove on the cover. Sadly, no Questlove remixes, but we'll work on that.
It's got
a remix by JCO and Equal. So shout out to them. It's got a remix by, because we're on Mad Decent, we got a Diplo style remix by some cats named Two Delinquents that are really dope. You should check them out. I think they're based in LA. They got a remix from me. I tried to go for like a Disclosure sort of like London house remix to a song called Running that I think people should check out. And that's all the shameless promotion I'll do tonight.
And it's on all the streams and all the things.
On all the things. You can definitely cop it. You know, for season two, I definitely want to have more from Equal, something from Questlove. Want to reach out to Big Frida. Definitely want that in the mix. And we're just going to keep it running.
Amazing. Incredible. Okay, we're going to move into our first question in our sample round. So Justice's live version of their song Dance was sampled by Swizz Beatz on a single by this artist. I'm going to play the sample really quick so people can hear
it. You can. I know it.
Of a program, Diallo. Here we are. All right. All right. What is the answer?
It's not DMX.
Okay.
And it isn't Busta Rhymes.
Sure.
And I wish it was Alicia Keys because that would be cool. It's Jay-Z, and somehow they looped that to make it sound like onto the next one, onto the next one.
Absolutely. Crosso says, just say the wrong
thing. I know. Hey, am I at 13 or 14?
You're at 13 now. You are. Yeah. You're in Amir territory right now, but.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. As long as I end with 13, he can't talk.
Absolutely. But we still have a little bit more round to go. All right, we're going to move on to the second question in this round. Which of these artists has not sampled Joe Cocker's Woman to Woman? I'm going to play you the Joe Cocker song in question. Is it Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Ultramagnetic MCs, or EPMD?
Okay. The troll in me wants to say Dr. Dre. And I believe that EPMD also used that sample as well. I feel like EPMD beat a lot of those people. I feel like EPMD, KMD, and there's like one other group. I feel like they beat everybody to the... Oh, OC. OC beat a lot of people to beats. And then they would take those same samples and they would have more successful singles off of them, you know? So I feel like EPMD has used it. Ultramagnetic MCs, I know some of their songs, I don't know all of them, but sure. I feel like I know Kendrick and I don't remember Kendrick ever rapping over a beat like that, but it seems too easy. So let me just think about this for a second. Let me just make sure. Because I feel like you'll pull out something, you'll be like, well, on the on the Black Panther Super soundtrack mixtape, there's actually... Well, it seems like everybody's saying that it's... Kendrick. Here's the problem. I don't remember there's a lot of comedians in the comments.
There's two shows. There's the show that's happening and there's Questlove trying to derail this.
Your format is amazing, my man. I admittedly discovered it recently and I love it. And so thank you for having me on here. I'm gonna go with Kendrick, because if it's not Kendrick, I'll kick myself.
All right, let's hear it out. First of all, Dre did it.
Now, what song is this? Because this is catchy. All right, never mind. Move on.
Sorry. You know, Instagram will shut us down if you.
Yeah, exactly.
A, the P, the M, the V, me. The E, the M.
Remember this? I remember this.
Moment of truth, Diallo.
Man!
Ultramagnetic, so you are correct. Kendrick Lamar did not sample it. There he is. He's back in the game.
How many more do we have to go?
45 more. I'm just kidding. We've got one more question in this round, and then we go into our final round.
Okay, I just wanted to know how close to 12 to 13 I was. Did I just jinxed it by saying 12? See, Questlove, he's in my head.
I wasn't saying that was the order. I just was going in the order that we had them listed there. Man, you don't know the fury of this guy until...
No, I do. Yeah, you just used to see when the Roots only get to practice something twice.
Would you come in and be like, hey guys, we just came up with this really great bit where you like play this complicated Chick Corea song. Like, can you do that? Or we come back from the...
They'd be like, we got to be out there in 30 minutes. I had to practice everything many, many times. And then Kamal just rolled his eyes. All right, let's keep going.
Sounds about right. Okay, here we go. Last question in this round. Michael Sterling's Lovers and Friends is the primary sample for a Lil Jon single featuring this rapper.
I think I know it. Yeah.
You know, baby, I spent a lot of time running away from love.
So who was the rapper that is featured on this Lil Jon single?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The fact is that, you know, first off, Lil Jon went to my rival high school. So I've followed the man's career going all the way back to Who You Wit, which is a classic. And everybody should check that out if you don't already know that Lil Jon song. I know the Lil Jon catalog. This would have to be, it's not Mr. International, and it's not 40 Water, and it's not Tyga. Couldn't think of anything for Tyga. It is Chris Lover Lover, a.k.a. Ludacris.
Luda is correct. Ludacris and Usher. Amazing. Yep. So, y'all, we have now reached what is our final round, and our final round is called Time's Up. I'm going to present you with the option of three separate categories. You get to pick one of them, and you will have 90 seconds to answer five questions in that category.
Woo! Okay, so I pick one category.
You get to pick one category. Five questions. So here are your categories for tonight. Hip-hop and The Simpsons. Wayans Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Or Black History Rap.
Oh, Black History Raps, maybe? God, the Wayans Clan, I feel like I would probably know that. But I think I'm going to go with Black History Raps. I'm going to go with Black History Raps.
Okay.
I don't even know what that category is. Can we know anything more about it other than the title?
Yeah, sure. I'll walk you through it. Black History Raps are about songs that reference figures or moments in Black history, whatever that might be. It's
all right.
Jerk, but it is like sort of, you know.
No, listen, I was a history major, so that sounds good. What is Wayans Clan?
The Simpsons is about, you know, hip hoppers who have appeared on The Simpsons or done things with The Simpsons. And then Wayans Clan and Nothing to Fuck With is about the connection that the Wayans family has had throughout their careers with hip hop.
I'm going to go with Black History Raps.
Okay. So here's the deal, Diallo. You will have 90 seconds. I have OC's Time's Up here, time to 90 seconds. So OC, your time will be up. You, if you don't know the answer, you can pass
and
come back to it. If you answer it wrong, the question is dead. And finally, you can rely
on... If I answer it wrong, can I just go on to the next question?
Yes, absolutely. You can go on to the next one. Again, you can rely on the chat, but you know, 50-50 with these guys.
Yeah, can't especially with 90 seconds to go. Well, no, they're 66-33.
You want to get all mathematical about it. Okay,
right,
Black History Raps. Diallo Riddle, here we go. Civil rights activist Rosa Parks was immortalized when this group named a song
after Outkast.
Outkast is correct. Nas delves into the history of African civilization in this single released in the 90s.
Skip, pass.
Okay, we're going to skip it. This rapper dedicated a song to Black pioneers of rock and roll with the song Rock and Roll on his first album. Okay, he's passing. Chuck D wrote this Public Enemy song in response to resistance against instituting MLK Jr. Day as a national holiday. By the time I get to Arizona is correct. Common and CeeLo pay tribute to this former member of the Black Liberation Army on Common's Like Water for Chocolate album.
Pass.
Okay, so we're going to go back to the ones you skipped. Nas dives into the history of African civilization.
If I ruled the world.
That is incorrect. This rapper dedicated a song to Black pioneers of rock and roll with the song Rock and Roll on his first album.
Mos Def.
That is correct. And we have the last question. Common and CeeLo pay tribute to this former member of the Black Liberation Army on the Like Water for Chocolate album.
The Black Liberation Army.
Our time is up.
Damn it. Is it a Sada song?
It is. And because you got it in there, I feel like we got to give it to you. All right. We'll give you half points on that. I'm joking. Diallo, you did great. No matter what, you're a champion in our eyes.
rub it in. So that was total five.
I'm going to total your score right now, but what I want to ask you while I do this, who would you challenge to come on the show next? Who's somebody that you know who you think would have fun and do great on the questions?
You know, I would. You know what? Have you done Marlon? Have you done Marlon Wayans?
No, Marlon Wayans would be great.
Here's what's good about Marlon. He knows every 90s rapper, like every single one. And his buddy Omar is married to the lead singer of Total. So you will get some great stories.
I worked with Marlon on the show Drop the Mic, where he rap battled against a dude from Saturday Night Live, impression guy, Jay Pharoah. They rap battled each other, and it was very intense.
Go back and watch that episode of Pass the Mic. I was the DJ that night.
I was on that show. Yeah, we were.
So wait, did I get 12.5? Did you figure out what I got?
You're like, enough of these pleasantries. Could we get to the score, please?
With because the half Questlove point, is never going to let me live this down.
You got 11.5, Diallo Riddle. Let me tell you who you're rubbing shoulders with, just so you know you're in good company. 11.5, you're in the group with Russell Peters, Chubb Rock, Tahir Moore, DJ Mr. C, DJ Mighty My, Kim Osorio, J-Live. Yeah, so listen, it's not a shame.
And Chubb Rock. I don't want to anger Chubb Rock. Chubb Rock is dope, too.
Don't get Chubb angry.
No, yeah. I want to get on that shit list.
Do you have time, if people want to ask questions, do you have time for a little Q&A, or do you have to be
absolutely
out?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Guys, if you have questions for Diallo, drop them in the little question mark box at the bottom. While we do that, I just want to do some quick plugs while we're all here. Thursday, we're going to have Just Blaze on the show. We are so stoked to have Just Blaze. It is going to be ridiculous. We hope you'll all tune in. And on Friday, we are on Twitch. We do the show where everybody gets to play on Twitch. So follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/depressionshiphop. Never thought I would be launching a television network for 2020, but here we are.
Here we are.
The best we can. All right, we have some questions coming in here.
The only question, they want to know why I am not showing my ass. I think figuratively, I am.
Yes, and figuratively is good enough for us. So let's see. Jack asked, what was your first impression when meeting Marlon Wayans? How did you guys first meet?
We met in an audition. Funny thing was that they wrote the character for this part, and they'd seen my work in the HBO pilot, and I read the lines that were written for the character, and I called my agent. I'll never forget. I was like, I'm not going in for this. This character is written not how I speak. You know, he's like, yo, you got a busted-ass TV. I was like, there's no way I can say that with a straight face. That's not how I talk. They're like, well, just go in and play yourself. And I went in and I just played the character exactly like me. And at the end of the audition, I'll never forget, Marlon stood up, came around and gave me a hug. And I was like, oh, well, you know, this is a nice guy. Like, if nothing else, I made a, you know, good impression. But then they called me a couple hours later saying the part is yours. And so that was the part that absolutely changed my life. And I'm grateful to this man to this day. We stay in touch. He was texting me about 2 hours ago about some business stuff because we want to do a new show together. And you heard it here relatively first. Like, you know, we're going to be working on something new.
DJ Equal asked, do you have any spicy Questlove stories?
That's a tough one because Quest is such a good, solid dude. I mean, like, he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. Like, you know, there are no crazy, wild Questlove stories. The thing about Quest that I appreciate is that, you know, you can talk to him for hours about just the nerdiest. It doesn't even have to be music related. Like, the man, you know, he watches all the best cartoons. He watches all the best documentaries. We can kid each other because he's such a decent human being. So that's a boring answer. The only other thing I'll say is that Quest has great spicy stories on everybody else. He's told me some stories that I can't say here because I'm not trying to have people up in my house, you know, with weaponry. But, you know, if you ever get, you know, some time to talk to Quest about what it was like, you know, in Brooklyn in 1997 when certain people were recording music and Biggie showed up at the recording studio, I suggest you ask him for that story, but I'm not going to repeat it here.
He's published a lot of these musings on internet message boards that have since been taken down.
Yeah, widely.
And by the way, Tenderoni, I am aware that I look like the rapper Logic. You're not breaking new ground by pointing that out. But I appreciate the love. It's fine.
I like your specs, man. I feel like we could almost be like 23andMe, like just a couple of generations, you know?
So let me tell you something. I was really nervous because I got my eyes dilated earlier this afternoon. I went to the doctor and I was like, I realized as he was doing it, I was like, oh, this might be problematic for a program in which I have to squint at a phone. But I don't think I've looked like I'm on drugs, and I was able to read everything fine. So I think it worked out okay. But Smashing Love asked, what's your favorite cereal?
We're going. I haven't had cereal, and so I'm just not a cereal guy. I think my favorite cereal is probably still Cracklin' Oat Bran. So there you go.
There you go. If you know, you know. Favorite funny movie when you were a kid and now?
Recent movie, I love Booksmart. I wish I had written it. It's just good. But favorite movie when I was a kid, it's funny because some of my, the Goonies obviously had, I think I patterned most of my speech patterns after that kid. Him and Corey Haim, you know, I'm a kid of the 80s. So like, those are the people who had the, but actually my favorite movie of all time, truth be told, is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So that's the masterclass in absurd humor. When we built Sherman Showcase, we kind of modeled parts of it after Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's what we're going for. So Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman, that's the GOAT.
So let me ask you something. I believe I'm a little bit younger than you, but I'm also a child of the 80s. And so it kind of is shameful for me to say, I have never seen The Goonies. Do you think that The Goonies is something that I now in the year of 2020, in the age of the Rona, will appreciate? Or is it kind of like you had to have been there?
You know, The Goonies to me is a lot like The Sandlot is to my wife. I feel like if you're a kid when The Sandlot comes out, you love it. And you can watch it now and be like, oh, that's a good movie. But you don't love it. I don't know that people who weren't kids when The Goonies came out will still love it. I mean, like, that's being real. It's just, it's very interesting what ages and what doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do one more question, okay. And this is a good one to go out on. Have you started filming anything from the next season of Sherman Showcase?
No. In fact, we were supposed to start shooting the next season of Southside in April. So we know how that worked out. We're sitting around waiting, but we may not sit around forever to start writing Sherman season two. So Southside season two is finished. It's written. It's done. We're going to have to change some stuff. We have a whole episode that's built around a parade. All that stuff got to be rewritten.
A little episode about licking doorknobs.
We got the handshaking episode. This stuff has got to be adjusted. But Sherman season two has not been written. And I'm actually happy to have this Corona time off to work with collaborators like Quest Tate, like some of the other people who I really want to get with and like work on the music. Because we have months to work on the music now on these great songs with Fonte and whoever and everybody else that we want to work with season two. I like I said, I think Anderson .Paak is going to be big for us in season two. And I think John's going to actually get on and do some singing in season two. We have the time to write these songs and like really build them out. So I'm really proud of the songs we've done. Whoopty Kids, I feel like is going to be a hit. Dropping Low for Jesus is a hit. Add some Kente. Shout out to Viceroy. I totally forgot about Viceroy. Shout out to Austin Afridi, aka Viceroy, for giving me the old school Chicago house song that I really, really wanted for the Sherman Showcase Black History Month special. I told him that he's permanently a part of Black History now for giving us Add Some Kente. You know, if you know producers and you want to send them my way, please do, because we need every type of music, you know, and that's what's important. We will get to writing it very shortly. Long-winded way of saying it's coming.
Absolutely. So if you producers, we know there's some producers there. Shit, I might want to submit something.
And Lorenzo. I'm sorry, Zoe. I say Fonte a lot. I don't ever mean to leave out Zoe. And Zoe got the new album out. You should definitely cop it. It's really good. I've been listening to it. Also, I want to send a shout out to Haim. Haim's album is fire. I think we established that last week.
Yes, and we actually, our friend of the show, Ariel Rexshade, who produced the Haim album, I think that they got in touch. I think Ariel and Questlove have linked up. So I'd love to have a recurring theme that at the end of every episode, we just talk about how fire the
Haim. Shout out to Haim.
Let me correct this. I believe that they pronounce it Haim. It is Haim. I realized that after with Questlove, I was like, how did I let him Jedi mind trick me into saying it incorrectly? Like, I know how. Time. And then I just let you do it just now.
Hey, let me tell you something. Haim, I will say Haim. And no, Quest, that doesn't mean I got another question wrong because I mispronounced Haim. You got that wrong, too. We got to talk, Quest. We got to talk.
Listen, I have to urge everybody who is watching this, if you have not watched the Sherman Showcase Black History Spectacular, do it right now. Like, log off of here. Go watch that special now.
It's on AMC.com. AMC.com is where you can find it.
and see it for free. I had seen bits and pieces of the show before, obviously, stuff that people were posting. I watched the whole thing, and I felt my brain melting in the most wonderfully positive way that I can describe. It was so great. Kudos to you a million times over. And you guys need to check it out if you haven't done so already. And go back and watch season one as well. Diallo, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks again to Diallo for joining me back in what honestly seems like an eternity ago. We talked about him coming back on when I ran into him at PopCon. I think it's going to happen. Stay tuned. Maybe we might do Making Illmatic with Diallo, which I think would be a lot of fun. Big shout out to the Questions Patreon. Thank you for holding me down and geeking out even further with me on all things hip-hop related. Shout out to the Stony Island Audio Podcast Network. Thank you to Midas the Beast and Czarism for making this show's theme song. And next week, we'll be back with another episode of the Questions Hip-Hop Podcast.